Wonderful. Well, he indeed is our rock, and today is Reformation Sunday, where we have our confirmation, an affirmation of baptism. When our three confirmands were baptized, they didn't have a choice in that. But today is their opportunity to say, this is no longer my parents' faith, this is my faith. And so each of them will be sharing their own statements of faith. And so first off, we're doing it alphabetically. So Aiden, if you would come up and share your statement of faith with us.
I believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I believe that God created the heavens and the earth. That means that life didn't just happen randomly. It happened as an intentional act of God. When God created us, he created us in his own image, and the Bible tells us that God is love. So God created us to show love to others through him. To show love is to care for someone around you, like your family, friends, or someone you just see sitting on the sidewalk, or someone sitting next to you at work or school. But God not only wants you to show love to others, but to love him as well. I love God because when my mom was pregnant, she fell in a hole and dislodged her pelvis in a way so that I was at her side instead of in front of her. And because of this, I wasn't supposed to be born living. I believe that God made it possible for me to be born, and I am thankful to be alive. One of the things I am also thankful for is expressed in Leviticus 26:12. I will be with you, I will be your God, and you will be my people. So not only was God with me when I was born, but I am thankful for when God is with me today. One way that he shows us is in the promise he made with us in Holy Communion, which we will be taking today. St. Paul says in Corinthians 10:16, the cup of blessing that we bless is in our sharing in the blood of Christ. The bread that we break is in our sharing in the body of Christ. Finally, one of the things that has been confirmed in my faith is the ability to go to heaven after I die. And a Bible verse that tells me this is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that anybody who believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
Next is Andrew Garcia.
Corinthians 10:16. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a sharing of the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a sharing of the body of Christ? In my statement of faith, I'm going to explain sacraments and why they are significant to me. A sacrament to me means requirements. For example, there are two requirements for a sacrament in the Lutheran Church, having a physical element commanded by God and a promised blessing. Another way of saying sacrament is a means of grace. This is explained as a physical mean in which we gain a promised blessing, also known as grace. We as Lutherans receive the body and blood of Christ in, with, and under the physical features of bread and wine. Lutherans usually go by two sacraments, including holy baptism and holy communion. These two sacraments are ideal in the Lutheran belief because being baptized is the gateway to the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Whereas communion is the reminder that Jesus did die on the cross for us. At our Redeemer, we have an open communion, meaning any Christians can participate in Holy Communion. However, a closed communion means only certain faiths or only members from the church can take communion. My experience of Holy Communion was a fun one. I remember being a little kid walking up with my parents in the line. They, for some reason, were holding out their hands. Once I got up to the front and saw a tall pastor holding a plate of what looked like crackers, I panicked. I copied my parents and put my hands out, hoping I can get one of those crackers as it seems special. Then I see Pastor's hand coming down towards my head. I close my eyes, wondering of what might happen next. Then he said a prayer, which took an unexpected turn as I was expecting a cracker. I thought, well, why didn't I get a cracker? Now I know why. Little kids don't get crackers because they don't understand the concept of taking the wafer and wine. My experience of baptism took place when I was a baby. Therefore, I don't really remember what went on during my baptism, but I still have my candle, cross, pictures, and of course my parents' memories of what happened. Being baptized, my life changed forever now that I was a child of God. Later, I would be going through the process of Holy Communion and fully understand the concept of why we do this. Mom went with me through the process of being able to take communion, and both my parents are fully supportive of my belief and will guide me through the process of anything that comes my way. Based on my experiences through holy baptism, I believe that God adopted me and gave me the Holy Spirit. However, some people didn't experience baptism at such a young age as I did. Others may have been baptized as adults based on the church's influence of baptism. Why do adults get baptized instead of being baptized as infants? This is explained to me that pastor baptizes children because in the New Testament, whole families were baptized based on Jesus talking to children about being in the kingdom of God. Because of this, infant baptism was always being practiced. Then came adult baptism, which took place after the 1500s. However, our tradition was a precedent in the Old Testament, which was when children would become members of God's covenant. In addition, we were all born sinners and need forgiveness and grace throughout our life. Overall, being confirmed in the Christian faith is such an honor and a pleasure to be looked at as a child of God. I will always believe in God and have amazing memories and have had amazing memories of the 2 years of learning and, of course, of goofing off during our lessons. Thank you to everyone, especially my family, for encouraging me into our belief and having an impact on me at such a young age.
And finally, Erica Taylor.
Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing, it is a gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast." Throughout middle school and throughout confirmation these past few years, I have learned that salvation comes through my faith in Jesus Christ, not through my actions. As most of you know by now, no human is perfect. We all have our flaws that make us who we are. I know, despite the many times that I have sinned, that I am still saved because of my faith in Jesus. God will still accept me into his kingdom, whether I am at my best or at my worst. When I first looked at the verse Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, I asked myself, what does God's grace even look like? God's grace is not something that applies to only a few people. It extends over everyone. The word grace itself is defined as goodwill or kindness. With regards to the Lord, God's grace is God's goodwill, kindness, and love for all people. God's grace may come through my own faith, but it also came through my baptism. God promises through baptism that we become his children and receive the Holy Spirit. I may not remember the day I was baptized, but I have learned that baptism means so much more than just water and a blessing. It is God's promise to make me his child and grant me eternal life. Overall, I am a child of God, granted salvation through his grace, despite my own human imperfections. Lastly, I'd like to thank Pastor Brian for teaching me and guiding me through these past few years in confirmation. Thank you for putting up with me, no matter how many times I probably complained about schoolwork or my former volleyball teammates. You've passed so much biblical knowledge and wisdom onto me, Andrew, and Aiden. Thank you for all that you do.
Well done, thou good and faithful servants. Yes. Well, we've just heard the statements of faith by the confirmands, well articulated. For 2 years, they've memorized Bible passages, they've learned about their Lutheran heritage, and as you have heard, they have learned about the basics of the Christian faith as well. Our gospel lesson is so appropriate for a time like this, because it tells us, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Confirmation is not graduation. It is one step along your journey of faith, and that's why the lesson today says, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. And so life is a process, not only for these confirmands, but for all of us. We never quit learning. We never quit experiencing God's grace in our lives. So the message to you and to all of us gathered is, faith is a journey where we are constantly needing to be in touch with God's word that we might be made free. But what does it mean to be made free in Christ? What does that mean? You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Well, I see it in two ways. One is that we're set free from, and the other is we're set free for. We are set free from the fear of not being good enough to be loved by God. Because in this world, we're judged by, are we good enough? You know, already the pressure. You haven't even, just starting into high school, and it's, will you get the SAT scores? Will you get into the college you want to get into? And you're only going to get into the college you want if you're good enough. Or that sports team, will you make the traveling team? Are you going to be on the best team? You only get on the best team if you're good enough. And then when you get older and you have to look for a job and then you have to compete and you only get the best jobs if you're good enough. And so in the world, we always live with that fear, that tension of, are we good enough? And that is the truth in the world. In Christianity, the truth is God is good enough. God is gracious enough. And therefore, if we stay in his word, he sets us free from the fear of, will God still love me when I sin? Will God still love me if I'm not good enough? And that's why we have the Bible passages, and Erica has talked about Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not your own doing. It's a gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. What a wonderful thing that is, to know that it's not because I'm good enough, or that I've done enough, but I am saved by God's grace. God loves each and every one of us, and he frees us from the fear of doubt. The fear, am I good enough to be loved by God? God so loved the world, as Aidan quoted, that he sent his only Son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but may have eternal life. So to continue in God's word is to continue to be freed from fear. Don't worry if you're good enough. God is gracious enough, and God loves you, and he loves each one of us as we are, not as we'd like to be, not even as we should be. Sinners that we are, he loves us and forgives us. When we continue in that word, that frees us from that fear of being good enough. And it frees us from the fear of death and judgment. There used to be a popular evangelism program that asked the question, if you were to die tonight, would God let you into heaven? And the resounding answer to that is yes. Again, not because I'm good enough, because his promise is good enough. Everyone who believes in me shall be saved. And so it is. We're freed from that fear. When I die, will I be good enough to get into heaven? No, you won't be good enough to get into heaven. None of us is good enough to get into heaven. But God's word of grace and forgiveness is sure enough that we don't have to fear anymore. That's the promise that he makes to us. And that's what you've been sharing in your own statements with us today so eloquently. But your faith also frees you for. We were created to live in relationship with God and with others. We're not created to live only for ourselves. See, the truth of the world, which is a lie, is the one with the most toys wins. And when you believe in that philosophy, then materialism becomes your God. And then you always wonder, do I have enough? And you become a slave then to materialism. You either feel good or bad depending on how much you have. But Jesus says that's not what makes you worthy or good. It's because you know you are loved and you love others around you. And in fact, Jesus says the greatest among you is not the richest. The greatest among you is not the most popular. The greatest among you is not the most powerful. Who's the greatest? The servant, yes, is your servant. Freed to serve. Not so that God will love you. He does love you, so he frees you now to love other people as he has already first loved you. And so to continue in God's word is to be freed to say, I don't have to always be trying to get for myself. I'm free to give myself toward others. And every act of love, every act of self-sacrifice, every gift given for the benefit of others is a God-pleasing act. Your faith also frees you for joyful worship. God loves you. He's gracious to you. As you've said, you now have the hope and promise of eternal salvation. You don't have to worry about that. And so you don't have to worship God. You get to worship God. You get to say, thank you, God, because you love me for who I am. You promise me a future because of your grace. And that's what makes worship the most joyful hour of the week. Because we don't come to worship with fear. We come to worship with thanksgiving and joy because, as you have so beautifully stated, we are saved by his grace. So may you continue in his word. May you continue to have faith that you may be freed from fear and freed for joyful worship and service. Amen. Well, you all stand and pray with me. Dear Lord God, there are many things that bring us fear. Lord, we pray, give us even just a mustard seed faith, that whatever fears we may face, fears of unemployment, fears of sickness, fears of death, fears of not being good enough, Lord, cast out our fears and let the truth of your gospel reside in our hearts. That the most important thing to know in this world is that we are your children, loved by you now and for eternity. Lord, send your Spirit to make that message alive in our hearts. Free us from all fear. Fill us with your hope and with your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We invite you to join on page Hymn of the Day, Morning Cry.